Well, I had Joe turn that on a little quick. I should have announced to you all. I've been telling some of you that Brother Art Neuenschwander and his wife Millie stopped by last night. They're on their way to a funeral out in Indiana. And Millie's brother died not suddenly, but his illness was sudden. If that makes any sense. He had a cold, got worse, and was taken to the hospital with chest congestion and put on breathing apparatus and so on, and was released then and went home and came back again, and he died. They took him off the support system, and that was the end of it. So they're on their way to that funeral, and maybe, depending, I don't know how Art feels that he has to be back home on Saturday every day, and I'll, if you want to know why, I'll tell you sometime. Anyhow, now it's on tape. I wanted to mention that to you. They've got a long trip ahead of them, and they're not spring chickens either. I want to go to John 6. I just told Joe this morning that I became involved for one reason or another in the 6th chapter of John, and I figured as long as I was going to do the work, I might as well use it. Now, this is always good for me, even though I often turn to John 6 for personal reasons. But I'm prompted to say that we ought to take heed to David's words in Psalm 119 and verse 105 when he said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a guide to my path always." You know, we are prone, I'm not saying everybody, but there are countless numbers of God's people, I think, that are prone to neglecting that word, the written word. And in Psalm 119, the word is used 35 times. If you find me off by one or two, don't be too hard on me, because to count words is difficult for me. But 35 times, I know it's that many. In Psalms, 119 is that word used. Mm-hmm. And in most senses, it is used by David in a personal sense. In other words, your word has a meaning to me.
Right, sir.
It's not because your word says this and has a meaning for something else. This is for me. And we ought to read the scripture with the same personal sense, or to desire to understand and to apply that word personally to our lives in the year 2001, and that even sounds strange when I say it. Now, there are a lot of people that read scripture objectively. Preacher says something, I'm going to find out whether or not that's right. Or I'm going to find out whether or not that's wrong, and I'm going to look. And they'll spend a lot of time, and if they find out the preacher's right, they might spend a lot more time figuring out how he was wrong. But anyway, they read it in an objective fashion. Or it's like what I used to call a pitchfork sermon. The old deacon on the front row, he catches it, and he tosses it back. And then everybody keeps tossing it back until he gets to the door and there's finished. It doesn't apply to anybody. But this book applies to us.
Yes, sir.
It applies to us. It's the governor of our lives, or is to be the governor of our lives.
Yeah.
So we ought not to read it just to prove some position that I've taken, or that you've taken, or to answer some argument. But we need to read so that God's word, in the words of Jeremiah, become a reality. Listen to what he said. Thy words were found, and I did eat them.
Yes, sir.
In other words, I consumed the word of God. That's what Jeremiah is saying.
Yeah.
And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord.
Yeah.
There's the reason. For I am called by thy name, O Lord. Now, I'd like for us to do with these words that we find in John 6, we're going to be here a while. That we find, and I'm even not even taking it all. With these words that we find here in John 6, and I'm not even going to begin with the first verse, but I'm going to go initially to verses 28 through 35 of John 6. Now, verses 1 through 27 are introductory. They're introductory verses that are bringing us into the place where we see and can understand the great truth of the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not many people talk about the humiliation of Christ. Not many people. He came out of eternity. He was with God.
Yes, sir.
That's what John says in chapter 1. He was the capital W, living word.
Yes, sir.
The living word, and he was with God. And we read that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is, according to Paul the Apostle, the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Now, I had a man over at Mabscott one time tell me, he said, I never thought of Christ as creator. I said, why, that he is creator.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He is. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Think of the words now. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Yes, sir.
All things. And he is before all things. That is, he takes precedence over everything. He's higher than everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. It is by him that all things consist or are held together. And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's Colossians, the first chapter in verses 16 through 19. This is who he is. This is the person with whom we have to deal is the first begotten of God. He is the image of God. He is God incarnate in the flesh. Listen, this is he who is set up from everlasting. From the beginning or ever the earth was. I heard a preacher say one time, and I think I repeated him, when God was alone. I don't know that he ever was. There was always the Holy Trinity. And this speaks of Christ, from the beginning or ever, he who was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Proverbs 8, 23 and 30. What a tremendous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came voluntarily.
Yes, sir.
Voluntarily. He said, Peter, put up your sword. I could call legions of angels. I don't need your sword.
Exactly.
I don't need it. Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? Nay, for this hour came I into the world. Mm-hmm. That was where he was.
Yes, sir.
And he came voluntarily. He came down from heaven and made himself of no reputation and was made in the likeness, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And sets himself before us in this chapter as the bread. Bread.
Yes, sir.
Something to be consumed. Think of it that way. Something to be consumed. Something to be used to satisfy an appetite. Something from which we're able to gain strength. And it is, bread itself is the sustenance of life. That's the reason Naomi went down into Moab, don't you know? Because there was bread there.
That's right.
There was bread there. But he is the living bread, and he alone can supply the need of the quickened and the awakened soul. The quickened soul is the one made alive by the gift of God in regeneration, and that quickening, that quickened soul reaches out to God. Do you know that? It does. Now his hearers asked him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?"
Yep.
Now you see, these people had just come from the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But I'll say more of that later. Now, the words to me are the words of men that are temporarily impressed, mm-hmm. but didn't understand the way
yep.
to the righteousness of God.
Right.
Now, maybe they felt like they were on the wrong road. That there was something they had to do, some exercise in holiness, or some exercise in denial, or self-flagellation, whipping themselves. Something they had to do to gain acceptance with God. But they didn't have a clue as to what it was.
That's it.
Not one. Like all men everywhere, like all natural men, they supposed that they had to do something.
Exactly.
They just had to do something. You know, this is an affront to most people when you tell them that salvation is not gained by doing.
Exactly.
That's the first thing that upsets them. No matter how you talk about what Christ did,
yeah.
it's not enough.
Right. Exactly. Right.
And that they just, and I mean, I'm not talking about them out there. I'm talking about people that profess and take the position of old Baptists. There a lot of them are concerned about doing for merit.
Yeah.
Mason, you can well remember some conversations that you've had in the past with one individual that I know about, without naming, who's always, "Well, we're not doing enough. We're not doing enough. These other churches are out here and they're witnessing it." And he wasn't the only one. They were constantly worried about this thing of doing something, but with no idea as to what to do. Now here's the natural man. Say what you will. Here's the natural man just out seeking more self-righteousness and more reason why God has to accept him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It's nature. And he's forever, this old nature, this flesh, is forever occupied and filled up with his doings, its own doings, what they do. And he always figures that acceptance with God is realized by doing something. And so because of his doings, he's entitled to some reward. It just got to be that way. So he reckons his reward of debt and not of grace. That's the opposite of Romans 4.
Yes, sir.
God owes me something. Well, God can't do that. I've heard that said. God can't do that. The natural man wants to bring God down to the place where he's in the position of being a debtor to man. God owes me. But that's not what he says. Our Lord said in verse 27 of this sixth chapter, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall what? Give.
Yes, sir.
Unto you. That nature, that flesh, is at enmity with God and is absolutely unwilling to come down to the place of a beggar.
Exactly.
Unwilling. And a pauper. And take everything from God's hand for nothing. Mm-hmm. You see, it's God that takes the beggar from the dunghill.
Yes, sir.
And seats him with princes and kings.
Exactly.
And yet, the modern humanist would tell you a way to teach the beggar to climb down off the dunghill and get where he's going by himself. Mm-hmm. Now, you lace into that what is passed off for the gospel of Christ, and you have religious humanism.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's a curse instead of a blessing. You receive everything for nothing. You remember the woman at the well? Well of Sychar, wasn't it, Walter? She was at the well in Samaria. But until the grace of God, God's sovereign grace, completed a work within her soul, we read in John 4:10 that she knew not the gift of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. She didn't know it. And it was the same with the rich young ruler, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
That was his question. And it was the same with those Jews on the day of Pentecost that heard Peter preach. He said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's what they cried out over in Acts 2 and verse 37. The same with the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, that's what the natural man wants.
Sure.
He wants something to do. Even with the prodigal son, who was a son.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So it affects even those who are the children of God. The prodigal son thought within his heart to say to his father, make me one as one of thy hired servants. Make me as one who earns his way.
That's what he said.
You see, that was a son.
Yeah.
Jesus answered in verse 29 and said, this is the work of God.
Yeah.
This is. That ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, how simply Christ put it.
Amen. That's it.
How simply he put it. But you know what? We've got to define every word we read,
yes,
don't
sir.
We? Everyone.
Yes, sir.
So we've got to, and I'm using that we as just a floppy thing. But there are a great many people who want to take that word believe and hang to it all manner of creedal, church creeds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All manner of the teachings and the doctrines of men. want to hang it right on that word. Well, yes, believe, but. This is their whole attitude. Well, you know, oh, yeah, the Bible says that, but John, that's the way you look at it. That's just the way you see it. I don't see it that way. Yeah. Well, it's written out in black and white.
Exactly.
This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
Yeah.
Now, he put it real simply, and yet how complicated it is today. So I can ask this morning, and most of you can answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. If I come to anybody and say, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And so you answer, yes. You'd find very few people over in the Crossroads Mall that wouldn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if they were asked, they'd say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my next question. Do you follow him?
That's it.
You know what kind of an answer I get? Well, the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Best I can. So my question is then, well, what do you mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they begin to outline
right.
What they mean. But here's what I mean, really. Is it your desire to follow Christ? Is it your desire to follow him in baptism?
That's it.
Is it your desire to follow him in, here's that word, holiness?
Yes, sir.
Is it your desire to suffer with him, that you might also reign with him? Is it your desire to count all things but loss, that you might win Christ? I'm talking about following Christ.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
You'll notice I have not said, will you? I've not said that. I said, do you desire to?
Right.
And there's a difference.
Right. Yes, sir.
Do you want to? Now, somebody says to me, well, I want, I want to, I'll try. More of the same. I'm going to do something.
Exactly.
I'll try. I'm not talking about I'll. I'm talking about Christ doing a work that sets the tenor, tone, and tune of life. Is it a slow thing? Is it a slow progress? Sure. It takes a long time. All of these people that come forward, you know, and accept Jesus are all in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like at the resurrection, they're changed all of a sudden. But why is it in 6 months you can't find it?
That's exactly.
You can't find him. I just told Art when he was going out the door this morning that I stood waist deep in water down at the Beckley Water Plant on Pluto Road. Most of you have gone by it. Waist deep in water on one wretched cold day in early March with it blowing a blizzard, and baptized 42 people. Uh-huh. Nearly froze to death because I couldn't get out. Uh-huh. I had to take them one at a time. 6 months later, I could find but one. And a year later, that one was gone. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about profession, and we'll get to a lot more of that, and my time goes quickly. I don't want this, I'll try. No, that's not it. That's more of the works of the flesh. The entrance of the Spirit of God in to the soul in regeneration creates in the living sinner a desire. It creates in him a longing, or her, to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not of law works, but through the faith of Christ. That's what believing entails. It's something that happens in me. Faith is given as a gift, and then that faith is expressed in believing what God has said.
Yeah.
Well, somebody says, preacher, that means that, I said this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. This is the work that God gives to dead, alien sinners, the gift of life. Brings him or her under the sound of the gospel so that they can realize what God has done. Preacher, that's an instrument. That's something somebody does. You believe in means. Bunk. That's just a fact. If that's what you think, if that's what anybody thinks, tapes or otherwise, you missed it. I'm talking about feeding the sheep, not turning goats into sheep.
Exactly.
See, these fellas out here are trying to make sheep out of goats. Mm-hmm. All I want to do is feed the sheep.
Yeah.
And the sheep hear his voice. It's contained here.
Right.
They know the gospel when they hear it.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
So I'm feeding the sheep. If the goats want to go their way, let the goats go.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. That might sound a little rough, and I don't mean it that way. Our Lord said to Peter, he said, feed my sheep. That was the commission. And unnumbered thousands are starving because the shepherds are feeding themselves.
Yes,
and not the sheep.
Sure. Exactly.
Well, you mean I can get to heaven without works? No, I don't mean that at all. That's not what I'm saying. Whoa, now. Oh, that's a different, that's something I didn't know about this. Well, maybe. I mean, that those good works and that your character and my character must be stand before God without a flaw and without a blemish and absolutely perfect. That's what I mean. Those are my works. If you're in Christ, those are your works.
That's it.
But oh, make sure. Make that calling and election sure. Well, how can I not? How can I do that? Depend on Christ.
Yeah.
Let him be that good hope.
Yes, sir.
You have to be as holy as God.
Exactly.
To enter God's holy kingdom.
Amen.
Now, that's just the truth of the matter. You have to be perfect.
Yes,
but that's impossible. I'm saying that according to the scripture, it's not impossible. And how does it happen? How can I do it? You can't do it. See, everything that's said is in this do it realm. And I say to you, you can't do it, but with God, all things are possible. Here's that word again. Simply, believe Christ. Believe him. Trust him. And having crossed that hurdle of believing Christ, everything else is going to fall in line.
Yes, sir.
You know, the reason I'm here this morning? I believe Christ.
Exactly.
Do you know the reason I never cheated on my wife? I believe Christ. Do you know the reason I don't steal church funds? I believe Christ.
Yes, sir.
Right. You understand what I'm saying? Everything, every act, every action. You know the reason I put out a good day's work when I go to the shop or go to the office? I believe Christ. I owe it to my employer.
Yes, sir.
I believe Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I trust Christ.
Yes, sir.
And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
Who loved me and gave himself for me. There's not a nickel's worth of good in this old black soul.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Nothing that would recommend me to God any more than the ragged drunk in the lowest gutter in Charleston or Beckley. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nothing at all. That redemption, that salvation does not consist of what you wear or what you eat, or what you drink, or how you fix your hair, or what kind of a job you have, or what kind of a house you live in, or what kind of a church house you go to.
Right.
It's in Christ.
Right, sir.
Now hang in there with that. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know this, that the grievous wolves still exist. I know that. And that if anything could be done, even, you know, it's only little handfuls of the Church of Philadelphia. You read the seven churches of Asia?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Church of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. out of that whole group.
Exactly.
God said to her, you don't have much strength. You don't have much strength, but I know your works.
That's it.
And I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it.
Yeah. Amen.
No man.
Exactly.
Don't denigrate smallness.
Right.
Because there are few called, but many are called, few are chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't denigrate the few.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't get discouraged because of the few.
Right.
Don't do that. And don't become enamored of the many. Christ said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. Now, see, I didn't get far. I'm going to stop right there before I get into the other. I'll leave this with you, the 30th verse. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? Amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Amazing. He said, I this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said, what sign? What sign do you show? So they come to you today in this year of 2001 and say, where do you get that stuff? Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same question.
Oh, yeah.
Same question. Let me tell you, I don't need to, but I will anyhow. We're set for the defense of the gospel.
Exactly.
To the last ditch. It's a very serious thing to do so. Our Father, we're